And so we're going to do something special today. Our topic this month has been on heaven, but since today is Father's Day, we're going to have a special Bible study this morning on our Heavenly Father and how it is that sometimes, you know, we seem to be the elder son, so to speak. And I'm going to explain that. And so this Bible study today is called The Blessing and the Birthright, or The Birthright and the Blessing. In Luke chapter 15, verse 31, we are told about the story of the prodigal son. And we all know the prodigal son story very well, and the focus of the story is usually on the younger son and how he comes and he takes everything that was his inheritance and wants to get it before the father has actually died. He wants to get his inheritance early. And you know that he takes it and he squanders it. And he just goes and does what he wants until he's in a mess. And he comes back and the father shows him much grace and restores him to sonship. But the story doesn't seem to have much about the older son who was there all the time and never left home and was faithful and did what the father's bidding was all about. So today this study is about the other son. And sometimes that's how we feel, you know. We look at our friends or people and how they have, you know, left father's house doing their own thing and they're seeming to have a good time and they come back and they just get blessed. They get all the goodies. And it seems so unfair, but I want to let you know that there are two things that the father has reserved for you today. He has the blessing and he has the birthright. When the other son, the elder son, found out that the younger son had come back and the father had thrown a party and given him the ring and the robe, obviously he was feeling a little bit put out. He said, look, I've been here all these years. I stayed in father's house. I didn't go and take all your money and waste it. I didn't waste all the things you gave me. And the father gave him this message in Luke chapter 15, verse 31. And I want you all to remember this. You who have been faithful, who have stayed in the house of God, you who have not gone and wasted the Father's blessing. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Sometimes it feels as if, you know, we're laboring in the house of God and nothing good has happened for us. But I want to present to you today this lesson on the blessing and the birthright. And, we hear about the younger son, and there have been many, many messages preached about the younger son. And it's great that he was able to repent and come back to father's house. Amen. So let's look at this story in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Divided unto them his living. And the reason why I highlighted that word is because it may seem that the father was being fair in dividing because he had two sons. But actually, according to the Jewish law, it shouldn't have been that way. Let's look at that. That word divided means to divide into parts, to cleave, to distribute. And so we're going to look at the whole story in a lot more detail today, because a father in those days could give two things. He could give the blessing and the birthright. Now, the blessing and the birthright were not the same thing. They were two different things, the blessing and the birthright. The birthright was due to how you were born. Anyone here is an eldest child? Anyone here is an eldest child? Okay, all right. Only one person? Okay, so some of you were the second or third or fourth? Amen. But if you were the eldest child in the Old Testament, especially if you were a son, that means you were going to get the inheritance. You were going to get a double portion of whatever the father had when he passed. Let's read it in Deuteronomy 21, verse 15. It says, if a man has two wives, because in the olden days they were able to more than marry one or have more than one wife. But of course, the Bible reveals that that wasn't God's plan from the beginning. You know, when they came to Jesus and asked him about it, it says, yeah, Moses allowed you to do that, but that wasn't what I had intended. But never mind. It says, if a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possessions to his sons that he must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the firstborn. What it's saying is that there was a law that the blessing or the birthright should go to the oldest son. That means he should be the heir to a double portion of the father's stuff. And so just because he didn't love the first wife as much, he was not supposed to give it to her children and not give it to the one who was born first. And the way that was supposed to work, he was supposed to give a double portion. It says, but he shall acknowledge the son, even if it's not his favorite wife, unloved wife, as the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So what that meant is, if a man had two sons, he would divide his inheritance into three parts. And the oldest son should get two of the parts, and the younger son should get one. So if a man had five sons, he would divide his inheritance into six. And the oldest son would get 2/6, and the others would get one portion each. Are you following? So by giving him a double portion. So the double portion was the sign of the birthright. Was the sign of the birthright. And we see that when it comes to the prophet Elijah and Elisha. There were many prophets in the day of Elijah. But when Elisha found out that Elijah was about to go, he said, listen, I want to get the birthright. I want a double portion. So what he was asking for was to have the right of birthright, because whoever got the double portion was the acknowledged birthright holder. Amen. So every son got a portion. That was the birthright. But the firstborn son got the double portion. Now, the birthright was all about money. It's all about physical things. It was all about stuff, right? It was all about stuff. When my father-in-law died, he had a business, and he apportioned out all his stuff to his children. He had six children. And usually if our parents die, there's some a will or an inheritance, and you receive something. But the birthright then is about stuff, physical stuff. It's about things, material things, cattle, houses, land, sheep, worldly goods. In other words, it's about money. It's about money. And every son got a portion by right. As long as you were a son, an acknowledged son, you got at least one portion. Now, if you were the firstborn son, you got a double portion. Amen. I don't know. I missed out on the double portion yesterday when it came to us bowling. Brother Tony and Frank here whooped me. The first game, I think I was dead last. Amen. Never mind. I came back a little in the second game. We had a good time, didn't we, brothers? Amen. Amen. Every son got a portion by right, but the firstborn got a double portion. That was the birthright. So the firstborn, as I said, always got two portions. Amen. And that's why Elisha told Elijah, listen, I'm going to keep following you because I want to make sure I get a double portion. Amen. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 5, we have the story of Joseph. And he had two sons named Manasseh and Ephraim. And we find something very unusual happening when it came to Jacob's death, the father of the 12 sons, because we never really hear of a tribe mostly called Joseph, do we? We hear of Judah, we hear of Reuben, we hear of Issachar, Levi, Asher, right? Dan, Benjamin. But why no tribe of Joseph? Well, here's the reason why. When Jacob was about to pass, and he came to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, God then began to fulfill the prophecy that he had given to Joseph. Do you remember he had a dream early on that his brothers would what? Bow down to him. Would bow down to him. Now, Joseph was not the firstborn. In fact, he was 10th or 11th. He was near the end because there's only one son younger than him, and that was Benjamin. The firstborn should have been Reuben. Reuben should have got the double portion, the birthright, but he didn't get it. He did some terrible things, and the father, Jacob, said, no, you messed up. I'm not going to give it to you. And similarly with the other next few sons, they all messed up. But because Joseph had been chosen by God, we see here that something strange happens. And this is why we don't have a tribe of Joseph. Joseph presents his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee, and are mine. So here's what Jacob is saying prophetically. He is adopting Joseph's sons as his, even though they were really his grandsons. So now, how many tribes are there? If Joseph has two sons and he's being added into the tribes of Israel, because Jacob is saying, I claim Manasseh and Ephraim as my sons. So there are actually 13 tribes. That's why we don't hear the tribe of Joseph, because we hear the tribe of Manasseh and we hear the tribe of Ephraim, because they were both Joseph's son. And Jacob adopted them as if they were born directly to him. So now, do you understand then that Joseph, when they gave the inheritance, that Joseph, in other words, ended up with two portions? Because he had two sons now that were going to each inherit a portion directly from Jacob. The double portion. Who wants the double portion? Amen. That's what I want to tell you and talk to you about tonight, is that we are going to get the double portion. So Jacob adopted directly Manasseh and Ephraim, and that's why we don't hear too much about a tribe of Joseph, because Joseph's descendants were both Ephraim and Manasseh. And by adopting them, they each got a portion symbolically from Jacob. Now that's the birthright, but there was something else that the father could give that actually was more important than the money, the land, the cattle, and all of that stuff. There was something else that the father could give. He had, normally under the law, he was forced to usually give it to the firstborn. But the blessing, he had a choice who he gave it to. Amen. He had a choice who he gave it to. I remember September 6th, 2009, when my father ordained me to be pastor here, and my wife, and we knelt down on this platform, and he laid his hands on both of our heads. And I believe he gave me the blessing. He gave us the blessing, which is much greater than the birthright. I tell you why. Money can come and money can go. But the blessing is from God. No one can take that from you. No one can steal that from you. Amen. So we see here that in this case, God did a switcheroo, and Jacob gave the birthright to Joseph, right? His two sons. But he still had one other thing he could give, which was the blessing. Amen. So the blessing is not about money. It's about God's favor. It's about God's abiding presence. It's about God's lifelong guidance. And it's about the spiritual inheritance. So now, the birthright is good. Right now in England, the Queen, I think she's 96, and she's starting to get a little bit frail. And they're talking about who is going to be king. And by rights, because he was first born, Charles is going to, whenever she passes, he's going to be king. He's going to inherit the birthright. But as I said, in Israel, there was more than the birthright. There was something else, the blessing. And the blessing, in fact, was much greater than the birthright. Amen. The blessing was more than money. The blessing was more than cattle. The blessing was more than land. So Joseph, because of the Jacob taking both his sons directly, received the birthright. But we don't see that the line of Christ came through either Ephraim or Manasseh. It did not come through Ephraim or Manasseh. Let's look at this a little bit deeper. We're going to come back to why that was. Amen. So the difference between the blessing and the birthright is the Father's presence. When you get the blessing, you have the Father's presence. He is with you. He is with you. So we see this in terms of two other sons. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Now by rights, Ishmael was the firstborn, so he should get the birthright. But whoever got the blessing, it was totally up to the father. Let's read that in Genesis 25:6. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abram had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away. So he didn't just have Isaac and Ishmael. He had other sons too. But while they were alive, guess what he did? He gave them his inheritance then. And what did he do then? Sent them away. In other words, they didn't have the father's presence. They had the monetary blessing. They had the land and the cattle and whatever portion he was going to give them. But he separated himself. He sent them away and only dwelt with Isaac. So who do you think in the end had the blessing? Isaac. Because the blessing is not about money. It's not about land. It's about the Father's presence. It's about the Father's presence. And I'm going to show you how that works. Which one is more valuable? So again, the birthright is by law. If you're the firstborn, you're supposed to get it. But the blessing is by grace. It wasn't, the father didn't have to give it to the firstborn. He could choose which son he gave it to. Let's look at that. John 1:13 says, talking about us, it says, which were born not of blood. By right, none of us should have the birthright or the blessing, right? We're talking about Father's Day today. It says, which were born not of blood. That means we don't have a blood relationship directly to Jesus. Most of us, none of us in here are necessarily Jewish. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God chooses who he gives the blessing to. So the birthright is by law, the blessing is by grace. Romans 9:10 says this, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God decided to choose a nation before they were born. Not the people, but a nation. And so the blessing is by grace. Just because you weren't born a Jew doesn't mean you can't get the most important thing. You can get the blessing. Amen. You can get God's favor. Yes, the monetary stuff is great. But the monetary stuff can go. It can be here tomorrow and you can lose everything the next day. Amen. So now let's go back to the New Testament. Now we know all of that. Let's go back to this story about the prodigal son. We're talking about fathers today. And we concentrate upon the younger son because of God's grace and mercy in that he messed up and he took the father's money. He took his portion and he spent it and wasted it in all kinds of riotous living until he had no money. But he stayed. The other son stayed with who? The father. Remember, the blessing is about the father's presence. It's not about money. It's about the father's presence. You today, most of us, I don't think, unless you're holding out, are millionaires, right? Anybody holding out? Oh. All right. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not about the money. Is do you have the Father's presence? Do you have the Father's presence? The elder son, when he heard about the younger son coming back and being welcomed back as a son, wasn't too happy. He thought that was so unfair. And when we look at people in the world having a good time and getting rich and doing, it may look to us that life is so unfair. Here I am coming to church, doing the right thing. You know, supporting the church, doing the right thing, and I'm struggling, and I'm hurting, and I'm in pain. And yet, these people out there, they're having a good time. They sin, they do whatever they want, they carry on, and life is just so great for them. Doesn't it seem that way? They seem like they have everything going for them. And you who are serving God and being faithful, it seems like it's just such a pressure and a fight. And so when he saw this, he was upset. He wouldn't come into the party. He said to the father, Listen, Father, I've been here serving you, slaving away, doing everything you want for all these years, and you wouldn't so much as give me a little goat. You wouldn't even let me have a goat to go party. And here comes this no good so-and-so, took all your money, partied, wasted it, and now he's come back and you're making him a son again. Doesn't it feel that way sometimes when you look at the world? You know, it just seems so unfair. But the father had to point out a few things to him that he hadn't thought of. In Luke chapter 12, verse 25, he says, "Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the party, he heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And boy, was he angry. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and started to talk with him." When we look at life and we see sometimes what seems so unfair, as I said, that you who have been serving God, it seems to be you who get the wrong end of the stick and everyone else is having a great time. You know, he had taken all his portion of the father's money and completely lost it, completely wasted it, did nothing good with it. And now come back and the father is putting on the ring and the robe. God is so merciful. God is so gracious. Our Heavenly Father is so gracious. We're talking about Father's Day today. And you know, I'll tell you this. All of you who are parents, everyone who's a parent, raise your hand. Let me see. I think I got all parents in here. Okay. Almost no matter how bad your child behaves or how much pain they give you, you know what? You still have that heart. You know, there'll be one person in the courtroom, even when that person who has been accused of murder and found guilty, there'll be one person coming up to plead for mercy. There'll be one person coming up and say, "Yes, he did it, she did it, but they're my son." God is so merciful. God is so merciful. But you know what God is also? He is just. He is just. The Bible says he has not forgotten your work and your labor of love. In the book of Micah, it says he's writing a book. He didn't leave it to his prophets to write this book. He's writing down a book. It's called the Book of Remembrance. Every time you have come to church, every time you have labored, when you have cleaned this church, when you have sung, when you have been dead tired and pastor says, come on, I need you to do something. Do you know God has got a book of remembrance? This book, he hasn't left it to the prophets to write, or any, he's writing it himself. It's in the book of Micah. And he says that when he makes up his jewels, he's going to be opening up that book. And every tear you have cried, every time you've gone to sleep sad and tired and hungry, don't forget, God is a God of justice. He's not only a God of grace and mercy, but he sees what you do. He says he will not forget your labor and your love. So the elder son now is not happy. So the father has to come out and speak to him and start to remind him of a few things that he may not have thought of. Luke 15:29. And he answering him said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me even a little kid, little goat to go kill and have a party, that I may make merry with my friends. It seems so unfair. But here's the thing I'm trying to tell you about Father's Day. It's okay if your father's rich and can give you much land and stuff, but it's so much better if he can give you the blessing. We're coming up this year to, I think, the 13th year, and I remember it was September 6th, 2009, that my father placed his hand on me and Sister Brownie and anointed us and ordained us to carry on the work. And I'm so glad that I had his blessing. You know, none of us are perfect. I won't claim I was a perfect son. But one thing I really hated doing is having anyone go back to him with anything I had done. Because, you know, I was his son. And if we had that attitude about the Father, we should make our Heavenly Father proud of us. Amen. That should be our attitude. Lord, what can I please you with today? I've said so many times, instead of asking God for stuff, we should say, God, what can I do for you? What kind of prayer would that be? Instead of, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. Lord, how can you use me today? What can I do that will please you? The oldest son wasn't happy, and by rights it seemed he was in the right because the father had let the younger take all this money and completely waste it. But here is the key. The blessing is the father's presence. Here's what he said to the son, and it may not have hit the son right away. He said, son, thou art ever with me. Thou art ever with me. You may be feeling alone, but God is telling you, he is always with you. That's a promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. We see it in the Old Testament. Abraham, he had other children, and he gave them their portion, but he sent them away. The only one he stayed with was Isaac. Because Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the son of blessing. So the first thing he told the son, the elder son, and it might not look a big deal at first. He said, listen, son, I am always with you. I am ever with you. And all that I have is thine. All that I have. Now the son has come back, but he's had his share. He's still my son, but he's had his share. Everything else that's around here is still yours. The Bible says that he has made us heirs and joint. Do you know you have an inheritance? You still have an inheritance. Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. I put a post in Facebook this week. What God has in store for them that love him. You still have an inheritance. If you're the eldest son, if you've been working in the field, if you've been striving to do your best, if you've been working for God, and it seems that all the blessing goes to someone else, hang on a minute. Hold up. I have some news for you. the father's come out the tent and say, listen, you have my presence. Now you may say, well, what's that? What does that mean? I'm going to show you what that means. You have his presence plus everything that he has that remains belongs to you. You need to think about that. You need to think about that. Amen? Amen. You have to think, okay, if it was me, I would say, okay, all right, that sounds good. So what is it that the Father has left? What does the Father have left? What does your Heavenly Father have left? Can you count it? Can you measure it? Can you put it in a basket? Can you take it in your house? What is ours that the Father presently has? Think about it. What does the Father own? What belongs to the Father? Now remember, this month we were studying what? Heaven. Let me ask the question again. What is it that the Father has? What? Okay. Heaven. He said, listen, all that I have is yours. Now, you just answered the question. You said, what does the Father have? He has heaven. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You elder son people that have stayed in the field, that have not transgressed, that have walked the walk and talked the talk, the Father is telling you, I still have something for you. And it's much greater than the earthly gain that some people think is all that. Because you get to inherit heaven. What does the Father still have? He has the heavenly kingdom. He said to the Son, all that I have is thine. He got what he wanted and he took it and made a mess of it. Yes, I'm welcoming him back as a son, but what remains is yours, because this is the one thing about God. He is a just God. He has not forgotten your work and labor of love. You can't outdo God. He doesn't forget. He's not like, you know, me. Don't tell me important stuff unless you see me write it down. You know what I tell you when you come and tell me to, what do I say? I tell you, go tell Sister Brown. Isn't that what I say? I say, don't tell me because I will forget it. But our Heavenly Father is not like that. The Bible says in Micah, he has a book of remembrance. And he's collecting every tear, every good work you have done. Every time you've called someone and prayed for them. Every time you have lifted someone up on prayer. It's not going unnoticed. Man may forget. You may do something for this church and I forget to mention it or give you the props, as they say. But God isn't forgetting. You know, sometimes, as I said, it seems so unfair. But our Heavenly Father is just. Is just. You know, as a parent, you try and love all your children equally, don't you? But certainly you're more pleased with the ones who are obedient and give you less heartache. Our Heavenly Father told the Son, he said, all that I have is thine, and I am ever with you. And that makes all the difference when the Father tells you he is ever with you. But it seems still unfair because that's still only one portion. Heaven is big, but it's only one portion. Well, let's look a little bit deeper. Now, the church in Hebrews is called what? Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. What did I say the firstborn gets? Double portion. See, not only do we get the blessing, but we get the birthright too. Because we are the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. The Father has a lot more in store for us than we imagine and can even think. You see, we're talking about heaven. Heaven is our inheritance. The Bible says, lay not down here. You got to lay treasures where? In heaven. Where moth and rust can't corrupt. If your treasures were in the stock market this last month, you lost a lot of money. You lost a lot of money. If you had a retirement fund, I have a little retirement fund, and I was just going, man, that's just going down every day. It's going down. But you know, the good thing is, that's really not my retirement fund. I have both my sons here today, and my son last night was talking to me and was telling me, you know, we were talking about saving money, and I said, you know, yeah, I haven't saved like I should. And he says, I know. He said, you've lived your life like Jesus is coming every day. And I said, yes, you're right, son. I really didn't really, you know, he says, yeah, I know. I know how you've lived your life. I've seen it. He said, you've lived your life like Jesus is coming tomorrow. You never made long-term provision. And he was a little bit, you know, was talking to me about long-term provision and where do I want to be in 20 years? I said, you know, I don't think that far. He was being a good son. He was wanting me to have some good life. Amen. But here's where my treasure is laid up. You know, my dependency cannot be on the 401k plan. Because just like the prodigal son, it can be here today and gone tomorrow. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that we are of the church of the firstborn, which means not only do we get the blessing and the Father's presence, but by right we get the double portion. So now let me explain. I said that the Father has heaven, doesn't he? The Father has heaven. That's a given. The Father has heaven. So that's one portion. So if we're joint heirs, where is our inheritance? Okay. Now I'm going to stop right there, and I want to go back to this story when Isaac was dying. Right? We know that Jacob was a bit of a con man. And he really, although he was the second son, he really wanted the birthright. He wanted the land and everything. But he also wanted the blessing. So one day, you know the story, he was a great cook, a great chef. And Esau was a great hunter. And Esau had been out hunting and came back tired and hungry. And he came into camp and he smelled this food. You know, when you're hungry, there's nothing like smelling some really good cooking. What's that? And the servant said, oh, Jacob has made his venison stew or whatever. And so he went over to his brother and says, brother, I'm starving. I really would love some of your food. But Jacob was always thinking. He says, well, what will you give me for it? What will you give me for it? And of course, Esau just took it for granted. A lot of people take their salvation and their inheritance for granted. A message came to me as I was coming to church. I'm not preaching it today, but I might give you the title. It's time for us to step up. Some people are just taking their salvation for granted. They're just cruising through life and think they can serve God any which way. Just look around you. That's not my message today. It's coming, though. If we are joint heirs, where and when is our inheritance? So Jacob said, listen, I'll give you some food. You give me the birthright. And Esau, either he was thinking, oh, he doesn't mean it. He said, sure. He didn't take it seriously. A lot of people are selling out their birthright for the world's food, for the worldly things that they can get out there. And so you know the story. He made him give him his birthright. So by rights then, when Isaac died, Jacob should have got the property, the double portion of all the land and the money that his father Isaac had. Then, you know, a few years later, when Isaac was about to die, he called in Esau, who was his favorite son, because he was the macho man, the hunter, and he said, listen, I love when you hunt and you bring me back some venison, so I'm going to give you the blessing if you go and hunt and bring me back the venison and all of that. So again, you know the story. His mother, Rachel, overheard, and she cooked up a plan because her favorite was Jacob. And she said, listen, you put on some hairy kid's goat's skin and go into your father and ask him, tell him that you're Isaac and get the blessing. And you know he goes in. And Isaac says, you sound like Esau, but you smell like Jacob. I mean, you sound like Esau, but you have that feeling that sound like Jacob. Sorry, I got that wrong. You sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau. That's what I was trying to say. But nevertheless, although he was doubting, he laid hands on him, and he gave him the blessing. And of course, when Esau came, he was mad. You know, there's almost no rivalry like sibling rivalry. It's funny how you can both come from the same parents, and yet some brothers and sisters don't talk to each other for years. In this case, Esau was really mad when he came in and he found that he had lost not only the birthright, but now he had lost the blessing. And he determined in his heart he was going to get it back. But he was waiting until Isaac died. And you know the story. When Isaac died, Rachel sent Jacob away. He had to leave in a hurry. Now, here's the thing I want you to realize. He had conned his brother Esau out of the birthright. But when he left home, what did he have? Exactly. He didn't have any of the land. In the end, he got none of Isaac's inheritance. The thing he had really wanted, which all the land and the money and the goats and the cattle and the sheep, in the end, he got none of it. But he had something else that was separate from that. He had the blessing. He had the father's blessing. So although he left home with nothing, and this is what I'm trying to show you this morning. We can have all the world's riches, but if we don't have the Father's blessing, it amounts to nothing. Because we never know about Esau anymore other than he founds the tribe of Edom. But they're not in the line of Jesus. They're no longer in the line of the blessing. And we find that the younger son, who started out by wanting the money and the land, he didn't get that. He left home with nothing but the blessing. And that's all you need, because guess what? Every time he did anything, God blessed it. God blessed it. God blessed it. So his father tried to cheat him, right? It didn't matter what he did. Everything that Jacob touched his hand to, God blessed it. And so he didn't need all of that stuff, because God made him a rich man, because he had the blessing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you are faithful to God, if you will stay in Father's house, you will not only receive the birthright, but you'll have his presence and the blessing. Amen. The greatest thing we can have is God's blessing. Everything he touched, as they say, came up roses. Every time Laban tried to trick him, change his results, he couldn't do it. That's why if God blesses you, no one can curse you. No one can curse you. I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. And I don't say that boastfully. It's absolutely nothing to do with me. It's totally God's mercy. And maybe because I have a mission that I've been trying to fulfill, God has kept me going and opened doors and done miraculous things. This is what I'm trying. Be faithful. He says, be faithful to the end. Be faithful. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We really do need to be faithful. And don't think God is not seeing what you're going through. Don't think that he hasn't heard your cry. He's got a book of remembrance that he didn't leave to prophets or judges or anybody else. He's writing that book himself. And the Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what we have done. That's a prize given. Some people are going to get some golden crowns. Some people, all they're going to get is a pat on the back. Well, you made it. And that's great. But I'm telling you this, God is a God of justice. And the father told the eldest son, listen, first of all, you have my blessing. And that's what matters. And then everything else belongs to you. Now, I said that the father had heaven. We're the church of the firstborn. So that's part of our inheritance. But I also said, because we're the church of the firstborn, we get what? A double portion. Okay. We obtain the double portion. You know when we obtain the double portion? We already have heaven. Right now, the Bible says if we die, where do we go? To be absent from the body is to be... Now listen, listen up. Here's where it gets interesting. Revelation 11:15. The Father said, everything I have is thine. Everything I have is thine. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of my Father. Everything my Father has is mine. Everything that your heavenly Father has is yours. So the thing that you may not have gotten down here is still going to end up belonging to you. When we come back to reign and rule with him, you'll be able to walk in anywhere you want and stretch your chest and say, this is mine. God told Abraham, everywhere your foot falls belongs to you. So now, if you believe that, you'd be walking all over the place. The best places, too, you'd go down. Where's the most expensive place? I don't know. All right. Because the Bible told Abraham, everywhere your feet trod belongs to you. That's why Abraham believed that and didn't build a house. He was trying to cover as much territory as he could. Because not only do we get heaven, but there's coming a time when we get the earth as well. Because we get to rule and reign with him. Because in Revelation 11:15 it says, the seventh angel sounded and there was a great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever. Now when Jesus was arrested and he was brought before Pilate was threatening him, saying, listen, aren't you going to speak to me? I'm asking you questions and you're not answering me. Don't you know I have the power to release you or to put you to death? And Jesus said unto him, listen, you would have no power unless it was given to you from above. Then he asked him, are you a king? Now, if someone comes and asks you that, how are you going to answer? It says, but so you would have no power unless it was given to you. Are you a king? Are you a queen? You know what you should say? You should say yes. 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 You know why? I've been adopted. Just like Jacob laid his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh and made them his sons, God has laid his hands on you and you and you and adopted you in so that you now get a portion. Amen. Do you understand how God has laid this all out? Ephraim and Manasseh were not Jacob's sons, but he laid his hands on them and he told Joseph, they're now my sons. And because of that, you get a double portion. So Joseph really has two portions in Israel. Amen. Do you understand that we get a double portion because God has adopted us into, the Heavenly Father has adopted us. Jesus said, I no longer call you just friends, but I call you brothers. Think about that, brothers. And the greatest prayer in the New Testament when he taught his disciples to pray, of course, he said, our Father. In the Old Testament, you couldn't call God directly your Father. But now we can say, Father, we can say, Abba, Abba. And he hears us. When I pray, that's how I pray. I say, Father, I ask my wife, that's how I pray. I've developed that habit because he's my Father. My earthly Father is not here with me anymore. But my heavenly Father has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. As I said, the angel is going to sound it, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He told us we're going to be joint heirs. When the father told the eldest son, not only do you have me, but everything I have is thine, he was speaking not only of heaven, but of earth. We're going to rule and reign, because that is part of the blessing and the birthright. Romans 8:17 says this, and if children, if we're his children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, now here's the hard part. If so be that we what? Suffer. Anyone suffering? Ooh. If so be that we suffer with him, there is a period of suffering. But if we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Are not worthy. Now suppose I told you that there was a couple $1,000 buried out, right out there. And I give you the shovel. You're going to say, that's too much work. That's too much work. My hands may get a little bit calloused. It's too much work. No, I think I'd have to fight some of you. If I told you there was $10,000, first one dig it up gets it. Do you understand that what we are fighting for is so much more precious? Cannot a value be put on it? So whatever suffering you're going through, it is nothing compared, the Bible says, to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Let's say not worthy. I hope you believe that. Because when you're in pain, when bad things are happening to you, when the devil comes to upset you, when he wants to take away your joy, you know what you have to remember? This is so that I can reign with him. This is so I can be with Father. This is so that everything that he has is going to be mine. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that means the whole creation, the scripture goes on to say, groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption or the revelation of the sons of God. Amen. You could stand with me. I'm finishing a little bit early today. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We've been studying heaven this month. And this study, although it's about Father, it's also about Father's house. Father's house. And we've, all of us who have been in church any length of time, you've heard many multiple services. You've heard it all. You've heard every word of encouragement. And sometimes still, it seems when we go out there, the devil just beats us up, takes away our joy, comes with something to sap our strength. Here's what I want to say to you. Remember, there is a blessing and a birthright. Despite what Satan wants to do, despite all the things he wants to take away from us, there is a blessing and a birthright. And through God's grace, with his power and with his strength, we can make it. Hallelujah. We have to make it. In Revelation 21, 2, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I want to make heaven. I want to make heaven. I was too young to remember, but my parents tell me that they took me to church on my third day after I was born. My mom took me to church. So I've been raised in church my whole life. There's nothing else I know about. There, you know, I can't tell you I was a biker dude, sorry. I've never smoked anything, but that doesn't mean I'm some perfect person. Oh, no. All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We all need Christ. We all need his favor. We all need his mercy. We all need his grace. But I tell you this, I don't want to have come all these 66 years been taken to church or been brought to church as a child and not coming to church for 52 Sundays a year almost for some 60-something years and miss out on heaven? And miss out on heaven? And all of you have a personal testimony. God has given some of you visions. God has given you direction. God has spoken to you directly and told you, you're his daughter, you're his son, you're his child. But Satan wants to let us look at the younger son who went out there and made a mess. And we think it's not fair. But I want to tell you today, there is a blessing and a birthright that God has for each and every one of us if we will just hold on. If we would just hold on. I don't know when he's coming, but I know it's soon. Soon. If we can hold on. Hold on. Tie a knot in your rope. If you feel your fingers slipping, tie a knot in your rope and hold on. Because he says that the present suffering will not be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to close our Sunday school and pray for our second service. Now, I'm finishing early, so I'm going to ask you not to go downstairs yet because they're not finished until 12:30. But I'm stopping a little bit early because there's a few things I need to take care of. So we're asking, don't go downstairs until 12:30. But we're going to pray 11:30, I meant. Yes, 11:30. Amen. That's Eastern Daylight Time for you, for you others, okay? Those of you that are on Eastern Daylight Time, just don't go down there to 12:30. But for us, in this central, it's 11:30 is what I mean. Amen. So let us pray and ask God to strengthen us. Because the devil knows exactly how to come and take away our joy. But today we are going to resist him. We're going to stand upon God's promises and words and not let Satan take away our joy or our blessing or our birthright. Amen. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Because as we celebrate Father's Day, that you are Heavenly Father, are a good father. Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus, Lord, to touch every one of us. Give us strength, Lord. Bless the work of our hands. Multiply that blessing, Lord God. Let your peace, hallelujah, and your joy remain with us, Lord. Let there be anointing in our second service, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, as we celebrate our Heavenly Father today, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your love. We ask for your covering, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit to fill the atmosphere. We come against chaos and strife in the name of Jesus. We bind every evil force that would come to disturb in the name of Jesus. We lift up your name and we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise offering. Amen.